This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Sorry to interrupt.
Are you okay? I need to get out of a toxic relationship.
Why don't you start by telling us what brought you here?
My boss, he's different.
You can't get him out of your head.
No.
I need your assistance.
I'm coming, Martha! Oh, you feel like he could destroy you with the snap of his fingers.
Wouldn't even need to snap.
Okay.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, what?
Renfield, bring me innocent victims.
Welcome, 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 everyone. It is Halloween, and I have finally come back. It's been a long time, if anybody cared. I'm still here, and I'm still going to attempt to do a podcast. I will say I have decided to kind of reformat the show a little bit, and I have my friend Julie back, and I'm kind of deciding to do this thing where I'm going to combine movie themes with recovery themes. So anybody in the recovery world, doesn't even matter what kind of recovery world you're in, let's just basket in anybody in recovery of any sort of thing, whether it's from alcoholics or alcohol itself or people or whatever you're in recovery from. We are going to use the topics in movies and talk about them in terms of recovery. Give it a try. Let's see how it goes. This is kind of like a test today. How do you feel about that, Julie?
Well, I'm here, so I'm...
You should.
What do you want to do, Tiff? Let's go.
I love that you're like that. You're always game. Always game. Yeah, and so because it's Halloween, I did see a movie recently that made me think of this specifically, which is the movie Renfield. So if you heard the opening, this is the movie we're doing. I actually have to admit, I don't usually watch like comedy horror. I just don't. I'm not that interested in it for some reason most of the time. But... when I saw the trailer for this movie, I couldn't not watch it. It kind of just seemed right on point, especially for me personally. So we're going to talk about Renfield. And I kind of roped you into watching it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Or this morning you watched it.
Yeah, I started it last night.
It's a great thing to watch in the morning. Lots of violence.
And lots of laughter. I definitely...
Did you like... You liked it?
Oh my
it?
God, I laughed so hard.
It's funny,
points.
Right?
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's pretty smart. And there's another movie that I think... I don't know if it's the same... I should go to my information. I don't know if it's the same... I always forget how it's hard to wear readers with headphones. But here we are. Yeah, so there was another movie called Warm Bodies. Did you see Warm Bodies?
I didn't, know.
Okay, so it's the same guys, and it's also a comedy about zombies, but it's also about love and romance. So it has another, like, the setup is zombies and a zombie, like, takeover. However, it's really about relationships.
Is Nicholas Holt, does he play
that? He's not in that one, but the same guy is in it. What's this kid's name? Nicholas Holt. So he's in this movie. Let me tell you guys the information on this, so if you're trying to figure out where to find it. I watched this on Prime. I think you might be able to find it in some other places, but it is it's this year, 2023. It was directed by Chris McKay, stars Nicholas Holt, Nicholas Cage. I hope you... And once again, Holt, H-O-U-L-T.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say that? How would you say it?
I said it Holt.
Okay, let's say Holt. This guy's great. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage, and other people as well. I'm not going to get into all the people in this, but it has a really funny setup. I'm just going to read here. I'll just read this. This is not a one sentence. This is like a couple sentences description of this movie. In this modern monster tale of Dracula's loyal servant, Renfield, the tortured aide to history's most narcissistic boss, is forced to procure his master's prey and do his every bidding, no matter how debased. Debased. I always feel like I'm on here trying to like read in school when you were young. That's how it always feels to me. Tiffany Reed, passage 3. Okay. But now, after centuries of servitude, Renfield is ready to see if there's a life outside the shadow of the Prince of Darkness. If only he can figure out how to end his codependency. So there it is, codependency. That seems to be, I mean, it's not even like they're hiding the whole thing. I mean, it's obviously about codependent relationships, correct?
Yeah.
So how did this hit you?
Very funny lens.
Did it?
Yeah, because it opens up with a woman describing how she's with this monster and like how
literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
And like how he wined and dined her in the beginning and like love bombed her in the beginning. And then like now she just cannot get away from him. And it's just this completely toxic relationship. And then Renfield sitting there completely relating, but he really is dealing with a monster.
Yeah, he is.
And he started the same way.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so I guess what I will do is I will share openly. This is not supporting. This isn't, I guess I should say, if I'm speaking about Al-Anon, I'm not speaking for Al-Anon, but I am in that recovery program. And codependency is definitely a big theme, at least for me in recovery. So I thought that was interesting. And literally to take it to the extreme of the person that you're in the relationship with is the monster, which is, I think just from the setup there, and it's really cool to watch the movie because he evolves through the experience. And I feel like for me, I've definitely evolved from coming in and thinking like, you know, wow, I'm being affected by this person's disease, and then kind of coming out of it and being like, actually, I have the power to control myself. I'm not a victim to my circumstances. And I'm just going there. But how did you, what do you think? I mean, you can feel free to share whatever you want. Yeah. So, or we can just talk about the movie. We're going to talk about the movie too, guys.
Oh, I mean, like, honestly, yeah. Like I took it to the place of recognizing that there are even thoughts in my own head that very much mirror what I experienced in toxic relationships and feeling like I was with a monster, but I definitely agreed with the main character when he said, you know what? Like, I'm not a victim. Like I wanted those things. I wanted riches. I wanted, you know, like I made all these choices and like, I went along and like, it went to a dark place, but like ultimately, you know, I had a part in it too.
Yeah. But he has to get there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. So we'll talk about the movie a little bit. So he does. So this is what's funny to me too, is we open up on the support group, which is just hilarious. Just and it's familiar, right? Like everybody's talking and sharing. Mm-hmm. I love the visuals where they pan across like the bulletin board of all the little like sayings, you know, like, man, I wish I could pull those back up. But like, just like self-empowerment, you know, like, I don't. Do you remember any of those from the beginning? I'm like already.
No, well, I can only remember the ones that he put in his apartment. The really cheesy like inspiration ones and courage and like YOLO with a big stack of waffles.
Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. So they really play around with like just the setup alone, which is like people stuck in relationships with people that I don't even know. What did she say? I'm in a support group for people that are involved with assholes, addicted to assholes or something like that, which I thought was funny. But he's in there and he doesn't want to share. He's not really there to share. For some reason, he's there probably because he feels like this is something he can relate to. But actually, what is he really there for?
Oh, he's there to find out who the people's monsters are and then take them home to Dracula to feed them to him.
What did you think of that?
That was, I mean, he's my hero.
He's your hero. I know. And I'm like, what a great guy. He really
used his help.
Well, and what's kind of funny is he finds a purpose with his horrifying task that he's been living for centuries. Like for centuries had feed Dracula, like literally bring Dracula food. And he's like so exhausted from it. And now he's kind of like at least found some good in doing this for him. Like he's like, well, at least here I can like help somebody out. It's a great twist actually on the whole thing.
It is.
And you know, at first you're like, that's horrifying. But it's also kind of funny because when you see the people, you know, it's like, oh yeah, that guy's it's crazy. And who knows, maybe that's just their fate. But in real, you know, in life, there isn't somebody that's going to take out your partner or your person that you're in the relationship with that you feel attached to.
No, you have to find the courage within yourself to leave.
Yeah. And actually, since we're going to, this is new, guys, so I'm trying to combine themes. I usually do talk about themes a lot, but I do want to just bring, I thought it'd be interesting to read, like, what's the definition of codependency? Let me look it up. Everyone, do not call in. It's okay. I'm going to get it. Codependency, excessive emotional or psychological reliance on a partner, typically one who requires support on account of an illness or addiction. Wow. I didn't know it had anything. I thought it could just be anything.
Yeah, me too.
That's kind of weird that's what the definition is. Yeah, yeah. That's from the dictionary online. Oh, wow. That's... No, sorry, guys. That was
my
phone. You
did get a call in.
I've learned boundaries. No, I'm putting it down. I'm just kidding. So as we do in recovery, like for me, I've had to learn things I never learned before. So one of the things obviously is boundaries. This is something that Renfield has to learn. And so very quickly in the story, we move it along. So he does go after one of the boyfriends of one of the people in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes this person out. But then he also now has gotten himself involved with this kind of like, what are they anyway? Are
some
they like a
crime family?
Yeah, definitely like a crime family. Yeah. They've got a lot of cocaine. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is there's a side story. You always have your side story of this character who's a cop. And she has a lot to prove. And she's pretty pissed about everything. What would you say about her?
I would have to skip straight to the end to talk about
really?
About her.
Okay. Yeah. So her name is Awkwafina in the story. And she is trying to, she really wants to like make her mark, but also she's trying to kind of deal with the death of her father, and her sister is way, you know, in a very different position in the police, or she's a detective or something. Right. So she's definitely got a better position, and she's dealing with the death in a different way. Awkwafina's dealing with it in a way that's like she almost wants revenge or somebody to get payback. Or how did you, maybe I'm interpreting that
wrong.
Yeah,
and also
what was
she
your
wants
take?
To expose the corruption in the police force because she knows that the family has.
Yeah, and what was that about? You know what's funny? I'm going to admit this now. I honestly thought because they had like those wolves on the side of the cars.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I bet you they're werewolves. Oh. I thought there was going to be like some weird twist at the end where they were actually werewolves. Like
that'll be Chris McKay's next movie.
I think I've watched too many werewolf like vampire movies because there's so many of them and they have combined them. I don't know if you've seen some of those movies, but yeah. So anyway, I thought that was going to be some kind of twist, but it was definitely not.
I did love how that was. It did show a different toxic relationship between the mother and the son. And she's like, and she's in there like torturing people and like expecting him to rise to be able to like head the family, the crime family.
Yeah.
She steps down and like, he is not a leader and he's been
he's not
like browbeaten by his mother the entire time.
He actually made me laugh so much.
Yeah.
It was so
really
funny. He's like, are you going to fuck me up?
I know. That was really funny too.
Like, are we good? Or are you going to, what's going to happen right now? Yeah. Do you love me or you want
to
kill me?
That's such a classic response to a toxic relationship.
Yeah. And what did you think of Nicolas Cage? I have to say, like, for me, I was a little bummed out that he wasn't funnier.
Oh.
Like, he's usually so goofy. I was kind of like, he's really bringing the Dracula. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
he's not
like having like crazy one-liners and stuff. Like, he just literally played it really straight. But he's great, right?
Mm-hmm. Very convincing.
He's convincing. Mm-hmm. He's funny. Yeah, so maybe we can all relate to, or some of us can relate to, feeling like you can't get out of a relationship or you're stuck in your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those themes. It doesn't even, you don't even have to have a relationship. I think sometimes you remove the relationship and you can still feel stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like you aren't in charge of your life. And I relate to that a lot. Even like sometimes now in my life, I still struggle with feeling like I am actually in charge. And it could be a result of like being in a codependent relationship where I was just deferring to the other person all the time by my own doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know I was doing it. That's the crazy thing. it's funny too. So we'll just move along with the story too. And I want to let you speak because I feel like I'm over talking as usual. But he sees, you know, he's kind of like doing his thing, and then Dracula's not really satisfied with him. He wants him to bring more, and that was a funny scene too. He wants him to bring like more, not virgin blood, but like, what's the word? He was like, I don't discriminate, like cheerleader, male, female, it doesn't matter. I just need them to be pure.
Yeah, good people.
Good people. He doesn't want the bad people because their blood is tainted. He wants good people. Nuns, cheerleaders, which by the way, why cheerleaders?
I don't know.
Cheerleaders really are, like, that made no sense to me. But so now he's kind of like, fine, I've screwed up. I have no choices. Like, I've got to go back and get him what he wants. But then he goes back to the restaurant where he seems to hang out, this like place in New Orleans. And he ends up, you know, mixed up in a scenario where those crime guys come back, and then he sees Awkwafina. What a cool name, by the way. I didn't realize that was her name.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. She ends up like really fighting these guys, and he ends up helping, but like she completely faces that dude. That dude's like, I'm going to shoot you. And she's like, go right ahead. And he's just like blown away by that. He's like, how did you do that? How did you stand up to that guy?
Oh, yeah.
He's so impressed with her, right? Yeah. Like, he cannot believe that somebody stood up to somebody else like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then I think after this, and I don't know if it happens immediately, but after that moment, he comes back to the meeting and he's kind of like, I need to get out of a toxic relationship. So now he's making a decision and realizing, like, I don't have to necessarily keep doing this. I think that was like definitely a shift mm-hmm. in the storyline, right? Have you felt like you couldn't face the people in your...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? And, like, did you have a fear, like, if you did, what would happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looked very...
Yeah.
I mean, like, the stuff that I came up with in my head were probably way worse than probably would have...
Right.
Could have happened.
Yeah.
Would have happened.
Yeah. So any thoughts about that or...
Ugh.
Hmm. Sorry, I made it deep. When you see, when I get here, maybe we shouldn't do it this way.
Yikes. I mean, it's also, I think another part of the reason why I hesitate is like the That's relationship okay. that I'm referring to. It's like,
yeah,
I was only in it for a year, and it was like one of those things where it was like honeymoon, recover, and then the disaster would happen. And like
okay.
The cycle happened every month.
Wow.
Like, yeah. And then until I started to realize that it was a cycle. And like, also it got me to a place where I was completely isolated. He even cut me off from my family, and it was just me and him. And, but like, and he was draining me of all my money, and like, just, I mean, it was just like a drain. And then like, meanwhile, I always held back that I always kept enough money that if I could get away, like I always had my escape fund, and I never told him about it.
You had your like, yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the moment where it finally did. Well, okay. Yeah. I do remember what happened. And see, like, part of my hesitation is because it was a long time ago, and
yeah.
I've done a lot of work on it. And like, there's a thing about talking about it. It's like, it brings it all back.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe we don't need to do that.
Yeah.
It's okay. And I mean, I don't even know if the details are important.
Right.
I think what's important is the shift. And I'm getting there with the story. I'm kind of just walking us through, but he paints Dracula as like, he came into my life and he just took me. He kind of says like, I was just available and he took advantage, and I had no choices. There was a lot of, I had no choices.
Yeah, I can't say that.
And then he comes to the realization later in the story, when they mm-hmm. go, now I'm jumping everybody, but this is what I do. But he's at the coffee shop with her, Cafe du Monde. First of all, New Orleans. Oh, love New Orleans. I kind of wish there was more New Orleans in the story, because I was like, or at least in the visuals, because I felt like we were only seeing a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And then there was that scene where they're at Cafe du Monde and you can like see more of New Orleans. But they're talking, and in that moment he reveals, and maybe it's in the moment that he's starting to reflect and realize that he allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I wanted what he offered.
Mm-hmm.
I was greedy. I was looking for money. He was offering a lot of wealth and power, something I didn't have, and I took it.
Yeah.
And then at that point, he totally takes ownership of his choices. And that's the thing, I think what's cool about the story is to watch him go full circle.
Oh, you have to take ownership of your part. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I think that's what, in recovery, that's what I've learned is like, and I'm just, you know, we're just speaking from our own perspective. But for me, I definitely wouldn't even, I don't think I would have admitted that I was playing a victim, which I hate that word, but that's a word that comes up a lot. Like, are you a victim of your circumstances or did you have a choice, you know? And it felt like, I think it really did feel like at times that I had no choices. It did.
It does feel that way.
It does feel that way.
Even though it's not true.
And it's not true, but it can look so extreme that you really start to think, I have no choices.
Yep.
So there's a bit of an undoing that I've had to do in my recovery to realize, like, I always have choices. It doesn't really matter what's going on. It could be the simplest choice, you know what I mean? And what's funny is once he goes back to the meeting, this is why it's so awesome for me. He goes back in and he's like, I need to get out of a toxic relationship. And then the guy's like, okay, let's hear your story. Finally, you've been coming here and you haven't shared. So now share, right? He's like sharing. And then he starts telling him what's happening. And he's, you know, they label him as a narcissist. They're like, it sounds like you're with a, you know, that's what narcissists do or whatever. And he just like takes in all the information. And he's like, what would happen if you didn't keep giving in to, you know? And he's like, well, he wouldn't
keep taking care of his needs, and you started taking care of your needs.
This is why you're here, Julie. This is why you're here. And he's like, he wouldn't grow to full power.
That was hilarious.
So funny. And he's like, wow, that's so weird that you would say it that way. He's like, but yes, he wouldn't.
I'm like, what would happen if you like pay attention to your needs? He's like, I would grow to full power.
So awesome. And then he like gets an apartment and he gets himself all different. And then what I love too, and this is, I mean, it is a recovery story. It's like he not only gets the support, and first he gets the awareness, like, holy cow, I can do this. And then all the people help, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody helps. So you have like, I'm going to help you comb your hair, and I'm going to help you do this, and I'm going to give you an idea for this. And with all of the group, he's able to try and build his life the way he wants it to be. So cool, right?
It is. Yeah.
Have you had that experience, Julie?
Oh, of course I have. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like when you finally get out from underneath somebody's thumb and you can go straight back to your own life, like how you lived it without them. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, it feels so good.
It is good. And this movie's fun because it's full of all kinds of just like playful, you know, playing that out in such a crazy way, even just like fighting back, you know, especially when the two of them, him and the cop, the woman, they are fighting all those guys in the restaurant. It's just funny. And she's like, did you chop that guy's arms off with a serving tray? He's like, yeah. And she's like, that was awesome. I was like, that's hilarious. So I guess I'll ask this, like, were there any key moments in the movie for you that really stuck out or like really hit home? Even though it's a silly comedy horror movie, like,
well, yeah, I mean, that's why I wanted to talk about Awkwafina's character.
Yeah, because please, like, you go,
he like, because she's left in a place where she sees her sister's dead, and like, and Dracula's trying to like spin his spell on her and like get her to become his familiar,
right?
And he's laying it on thick, and it looks like she's gonna go for it. And I heard her say all the things that I thought, like, yes, I can find light even in the dark, the darkest place of someone. And I was like, no, like being on the other side of that experience, I was like, no, you cannot find light in the darkness. It's like you try to save a drowning person, you're going to drown too. I don't care. Like, that's what happens. You can think that you're strong enough, or you're like, you have enough self-awareness, or like enough like spiritual, like whatever you think you can, but you cannot, you cannot save a drowning person. A drowning person can only be saved by something greater than them. And they have to find that themselves. That is not you.
Preach.
And I'm speaking 1000% from personal experience.
Yeah.
And so like that scared me that she was like saying all these things that I just fell into believing at one time. Like I can help this person. Maybe I'm the one who can find, like maybe I'm the one who can get through. Maybe I'm, I believe in the light. I know the light's all there is. And like, yes, there is even light in darkness. No.
Yeah. And I think that takes work to separate yourself from even being able to see that in people. I mean, there's so many layers to this that I probably could talk for hours about this, but, I've had to learn to like recognize, you know, maybe my codependency or whatever you want to call it, my attachment to other people and the trying to fix or whatever that is. And realize it's not like, it's not a bad thing. It's not a terrible thing to see a suffering person and see the good in them and want to see them succeed or want them to be better or whatever. Like that's okay. It just means I don't have to do it.
Thank you.
You know, because yes. I don't think you have to cut off a part of you just to survive. It's like recognizing like, yeah, that's all there, but what's my part? And like, it's not about me fixing that. And just like I had to get into, you know, meetings and recovery or whatever to realize that I had to take a hold of my part, take a hold of my life, and I have to do the work for me. No one else can do it.
Mm-mm.
No, you can't walk in there and have somebody be like, all right, sit down and we're just going to fix you up right now. Let's fix you up. Nobody can fix anybody. Nobody can save anybody. Support is another thing. Support does help, but it's not about that someone has the power to do that. It's, you know, it's whatever, you know, maybe higher power. But really it's on you. And I think that's one of the biggest things I've gained is like realizing that like I'm at the core of all of the things happening to me. And I need to, you know, gain full power. I need to go to full power and stop giving it away. It's so awesome. I really did love that scene. It was so funny. And I just loved how much he was just so excited to like, you know, like clean up the bugs and like, you know, and he also stopped eating the bugs. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the bugs for a minute? That was sure. Kind of a weird, I mean, it's a classic thing with Renfield that makes such sense. I mean, in every Dracula story, he was always eating bugs. I don't think they tied in that he gained power from it. I think originally Renfield just was only eating bugs because he wasn't given anything. He was being treated like a slave. So like Yeah, like he was just gone crazy. Like usually the story of Renfield, I think, is that he like loses his mind because of Dracula and he just like wants to become a vampire so badly. So he's always trying to like suck the blood out of bugs and, you know, because he ends up in like jail or something like that. I remember from that one Dracula movie, that's what happens with him. He's just lost it. But that was a funny twist on that like somehow when he eats the bugs, he becomes... has all this power, you know, but mm-hmm. only for a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Then it goes away again.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Dracula literally can heal you with his blood.
Mm.
So when he gets injured or hurt, if he gets Dracula's blood, he like becomes normal again. So he is so reliant on Dracula to survive on some level, or at least he believes it. And then there's that scene where Dracula realizes that he has stopped helping him. Remember? Because he's like, he's not bringing in victims anymore. He's mm-hmm. like doing his own thing. So he shows up in his apartment and that is a very upsetting scene. I don't know
if
it
is. Oh yeah.
It's like, you can see him. And I mean, that was a scene for me that was tough, which was like, he's really trying to like do his own thing. And then Dracula's like twisting every part of that story. Just like,
mm-hmm.
you are actually, you know, you're upsetting me. This is about my sadness now because you said you were going to help me and now you're not helping anymore. And like, kind of like poor me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, it's not true. It's not true. And then the funny part is he literally like holds the book up at him. Like you would hold the Bible up.
Yeah.
At like Dracula or he just holds this book, the narcissist, like how to
protect yourself
from a narcissist or something. And he holds the book up at him and then he starts trying to read it. And I guess what I liked about that scene is like, how really hard it is to change, like how hard it is to hold your ground or hold your boundary. So boundaries is like another big part of the story as well, which is like, how do you hold a boundary when somebody is breaking every single wall or every part of it?
Mm-hmm. And they know all your defenses. Like they know all of your insecurities. Yeah. They know all of your And they know how to use them against you.
Yeah.
They know all your buttons and how to push them.
And it's hard because I don't want to paint people as monsters or something. Like, it's not about that. But I do think, I don't know. It's funny. It rings true, or it has, like, you connect to it because there are pieces of that that are, like, familiar.
Well, that's why I brought into, like, how it started me to reflect on, like, the relationship I have with the voice on my own mind. That voice knows all the buttons too, and it knows how to, like, it knows how to say, oh, like, that doesn't matter, like,
right, yeah,
it's okay, you'll do it tomorrow, you know. It's like, it's not a positive, helpful, friendly voice in there. I mean, it causes me to beat up on myself, it causes me to feel bad, like, it causes me to procrastinate, like, you know, like, it doesn't have to be a person.
No, it could be anything.
Yeah. And, like, I agree with you. Like, I think that word is thrown away around way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And also in a very damaging way. So I tend to try to stay away from that word.
Narcissist. Yeah. And there's a lot of podcasts. I mean, it's funny. Like, I'm so touchy about saying it, but, like, I've heard whole podcasts about, you know, how to deal with a narcissist and all that. But, yeah. And it's another way to kind of say, I'm not, you know, they're the narcissist and I'm the victim of their narcissism or something.
Like, aren't we just dealing with people who are really, really hurt?
Yeah. And everybody has stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there is a component of, a person who has, like, a bit of power, and it looks like they have a way of being in the world that mm-hmm. is attractive to somebody who was like me. I am definitely attracted to people, because I can be indecisive. I can be, I don't want to say I'm insecure, but I definitely feel sometimes like I don't have the strengths other people have or something. Like, watching other people, I'm like, wow. Like, when he sees her, he's like, wow, damn, she just said that right to that guy and he was going to shoot her in the head. Like, I thought that was interesting because I have watched people in the world and then I kind of, maybe I gravitate to them because I, like, want a piece of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what am I doing? I don't know. I'm trying to, like, grab onto some of that because I need it or I don't have it or something. And I don't have it founded in myself, you know? But yeah,
I recognize that. Yeah.
Do you?
I call it, coattail riding.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that?
Oh, tons. Lots of people. They all know who they are. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is it is like a very common thing. So I think people that are like that like us, or they like that whole dynamic because they like to be in charge, and then
yeah,
we like to let them. So it's
your assistant. Like, yes, let's do it.
We're like, yeah, how can make, I help? Do it all. Yeah, you're take the lead. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, until it doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like eventually it doesn't always work. I mean, maybe for some people it works forever. I have no idea. But yeah, and I think it is awesome in this story. So he learns to face his fears. He learns to try and hold boundaries, even though there are some pretty serious consequences of that.
Yes.
He tells Dracula basically, like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm standing up to you. And then he's like, where are you getting all this nonsense from? And then he sees the book and he's like, realizes this is the place, these people at this church. So then he goes and he takes every single one of them out. I mean, that's pretty upsetting, that part. I was like, no, not that guy. He's great. I was like, damn, that's a tough one, you know? But that is also like a low point, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like a bottom for him too. It's like, how bad does this have to get, you mm-hmm. know? And then of course, with the help of her, Awkwafina, was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
He can actually really face it head on, but with support of somebody,
mm-hmm.
which I think is also another theme, you know?
Oh yeah.
Of recovery.
Can't do it alone.
Yeah. And the isolation, like you said, isolation, like he is so isolated in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
you know? I feel like, what else?
Wait, I had a point there. Where was
Uh-oh,
it?
Oh, shoot.
Oh, no, it wasn't really relevant. I was just thinking about how Dracula finally got his wish to have good people to eat. By going to the
sex. He did. You're right. He was like, look at all these good people. This is awesome. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah, like now I'm remembering parts of the movie that really aren't pertinent to the storyline. They're just funny.
Well, they're great. They're really funny. Yeah. I mean, there's great lines in this movie. yeah, they're, I'm trying to, there's actually, it's awesome. IMDb always has these like fun little quotes. You know, he's saying, I'm enough. I deserve happiness. And I take full charge of my life today. That's like when he makes him repeat the affirmations or the positive.
Yeah. And then yeah. he walks away saying he's like, those affirmations are never going to help you.
You're never. Yeah, but at the end, when he's beating the hell out of him, he's saying every single one of them, like, yeah. full on. You notice that? He was just yeah. like, I am enough, you know, I deserve happiness. Like, he's literally beating him to death. Yeah, it's just funny. What are these other ones? Oh, I've seen worse. Everything I saw you do today is going to be my way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
these are, viewer beware. Like, there are things you cannot unsee that have been.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, they really play with, I mean, they went full on with that. I mean, Dracula, all the lines from him are like, you know, my needs are the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. Your needs don't matter. It's crazy what he says to him. And then the guy, what if you stop focusing on his needs? What would happen? Yeah. He won't grow to full power. Exactly. We already said that one. I'm trying to see if there's any other ones. Oh, this is when he's trying to manipulate him. He says, there are some experiences worse than death, Renfield, such as spending the remaining years of your miserable life knowing all the depravity you've witnessed in the last century will be nothing compared to the suffering I'm going to unleash on this world. The world you choose over mine, when I'm finished the entire human race, everyone that you cared about will suffer because you betrayed me.
I mean, that's not like the worst death sentence you'd ever heard in your life. Yeah.
You're like, fine, I'll just get you another victim, I guess. Like, don't do that. I mean, that's terrible. Yeah, but I think that's interesting, like how you can allow, you know, and it's just close relationships, right? Because mm-hmm. if somebody walked up to you on the street and said, like, you know, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to take out your whole family, you'd be like, whatever, crazy person, I don't care, go ahead, you know. But there is something that happens in like close relationships, whether mm-hmm. they're romantic or I would even say family, you know, that you can get lost in what your role is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what is love? That's another thing this is kind of about too, is like, what is love with somebody?
Right.
Yeah, because they're all there because they're there for their romantic relationships, it sounds like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like with Dracula, so I guess it's different. But how much are you, you know, what's your definition of sacrifice for another person? And like, does that really apply? I've also had to redefine my ideas around what a healthy relationship is, what love is, which is still, I think, an evolving concept for me in general, because if you don't learn it, I don't know, it can be loaded.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, if love is taking care of somebody, then you don't think someone loves you if you aren't doing that. You know, like your whole world breaks down because mm-hmm. of those concepts, but we don't talk about love that much.
No, we don't.
Did you have a confused, do you think like feel like your ideas around that have shifted since recovery?
I had to undo a lot of thinking around love and what I thought love was. And like, that's also when I realized, when I looked back, is that none of my relationships were love. Like, I really didn't love the people I thought I loved.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was really uncomfortable to see. Like, it was more, and then I actually heard a speaker who described her relationships as like her drug and her obsession, and I related to that more than anything else, because like I was obsessed with them. Gosh, that's really uncomfortable to admit, but like, yeah,
I think that's what happens though.
Yeah,
no, I know, I'm sure if anybody's listening that can relate to this topic, like mm-hmm. They're going like this, I'm sure, nodding yeah. their head.
And like that, I'm actually,
it's an extreme word, but it's not true for some people. And even for me, I probably didn't even know it, but I was revolving around another person.
Oh my God.
Completely. like to the point of where I didn't even know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really didn't.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, the whole time, like you're thinking everything is fine and you're good and you're happy. Cause there are those sweet moments. There are enough moments where it's like, this is good.
Mm-hmm. And so how is it different for you now?
Gosh, to be in a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Like how did you flip that?
Well, it took a tremendous amount of work. It took a tremendous amount of, I had to look at each individual relationship.
Okay.
And I had to see like what was operating, like why I was in those relationships. And it like, when I saw them for what they were, it was like, they were trying to get something from me and I was trying to get something from them. And they were like, everything that I was trying to get was like really based on my own insecurities and my own feelings of, low self-worth too. And like, so being in the relationship, it like kind of fixed that appearance to the outside world, but not on the inside world. Not it to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then there are ways that I could rationalize the relationship to myself. And then also like another keynote I noticed is that like, I thought I loved the person, but I didn't really like them. And I didn't like who they were with other people. And I didn't like they made me uncomfortable most of the time, like in publics or like with family or friends or things like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was never honest about that. I would just like gloss over. I've always find a way to gloss over it.
Because of probably fear.
Yeah. But like also there was enough good things there, like quote unquote, benefits or whatever. Yeah.
And you're taught that. I mean, like I have parents that have been married a very long time now. I mean, I don't know. What is it? 50 years or so? I mean, they definitely had a 50th. But they don't like each other a lot of the time. You know, people, not totally, but like you hear that from older couples, like it's work marriage. You know, you don't always walk around like, I like everything you do. No, you hear that like, and I've known that my whole life, that like, it isn't this magical. And because I have that in my head a little bit, I think that fed the allowing, just like, oh yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? You can't like everything. I mean, you're not going to like certain things about a person. I'm sure that they don't like everything about me all the time. So I would, when you're having, at least for me, when I was having moments of like, this isn't okay for me, or this doesn't feel good to me, I would rationalize it. Mm-hmm. I would do that whole thing. I would be like, oh yeah, but you know, what are you going to do? I mean, nobody has it perfect and whatever that means, but all those dumb sayings that you say and trying to make the best of it and focus on what's working.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was for me, I would do that too much and not voice my concerns like at all, not even speak up about it.
But the one thing in common was like the emotional abuse. Like there was always a knife that they could turn that would like make me feel like controlled, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was, and like, yeah, that was one way I always knew it wasn't right.
Right. Well, that's a theme that you see in this movie, because one thing about what I have learned about good relationships, and this is not about romantic relationships, everyone, this is any relationship, is that when you get better and you learn, like when I got better and I've learned how to address my own, defects, are we going to say defects, but whatever they are, you know, however you want to label them, the things in me that I don't love to look at, you know, it's just, that's the way to be healthy in my opinion. Like, for example, like I'm very good, and I used to apologize to a default. Like I would just say, I'm sorry to get out of a conflict. I don't do that anymore, but I will. At least I think I don't, everyone. I'm doing my best right now. But I will apologize when I've really realized, like, actually I should say I still can apologize quickly, but then I get a minute and I'm like, listen, I apologize for this. I don't apologize for this part, but I do know that this is where I need to take ownership of what happened here. And the thing that I think happened in these kind of, whatever you call them, toxic relationships, is that I wasn't with a person who was very good at owning their part.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting there. And in the movie, Dracula never owns his part. Mm-mm. Ever. I mean, he's never like, yeah, I kind of did just like take you under my wing and I took advantage of you. No, that will never be heard. You will never hear it. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. That's hard when you are trying to be honest and open and vulnerable. And it's just kind of be, like you said, it's not, it's being twisted against you. And the thing it's hard is, like you said, is when people act certain ways, like especially like, you know, he's Dracula. He can't act like anything else. I mean, he's freaking the Lord of Darkness. He's not going to be nice. Like, you're with Dracula. So that's why it's funny to me that they made this whole connection through this kind of story, because it's perfect. It's really the perfect analogy. Yeah.
Remember in the beginning where he has to save him and he's like, maybe this time he really means it. This time will be different.
That's right. And he could have been out right then and there.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the people are like, we're the last of our kind. Yeah. Like, stop this.
Yeah.
Nut. Like, this is it. And he couldn't help himself. He could not help himself.
Because it got twisted. Like, the second this turns, like, they are going to punish you for everything you've done. Like, yeah. The fear, like.
Yeah. But the damage is on the other person's end is they don't know how to do. They can't change the way they are unless they get some kind of help too. They're not going to be different. And that's working for them, you know? And what I was doing was working for me until it wasn't working for me anymore. Mm. So I do find that piece kind of interesting, that he doesn't take accountability ever.
No, not once.
Not once. And you have to literally like chop him up into a million pieces and hope that he doesn't come back to life. But what's cool too is they're like, he could still come back to life, but it'll take a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even matter because you want to hope by the end of the story that Renfield has learned his lessons. And then at the end, he's back in the support group. Everybody's alive again because he saved them with the blood, which was just, that was another piece. I'm going to admit this too. I thought that when he gave, and maybe you have to be bitten, obviously, but I'm like, are all these people just going to turn into vampires now? He just literally gave everyone Dracula's blood. But I guess not. It doesn't work that way. Not classically.
Not in that movie. I've forgotten about that detail.
Well, in Usual, the stories of that is that you have to be bitten by Dracula and then you have to drink
his blood.
But I guess he didn't. But he did bite all of those people. So are they all vampires now? Like, I was like, you guys really kind of, I don't know. That's all I've ever seen in those movies is that's how it works. I mean, but it doesn't matter. I'm nitpicking it a little bit, but I thought that I did have a moment where I was like, is that going to be a twist ending where they're all vampires now? And they don't know it until like the next day where they're like, oh man, now we're vampires. This sucks. What happens when you take a codependent and turn them into a vampire? That's an interesting question.
Whoa. Has that ever happened?
I don't know. Let's hope not. Let's hope not, everyone. That would be another scary story. Or a great payback one. I'm not really sure. Taking out all the narcissists or whoever the people that are hurting all the other people. But they're hurting themselves, and I don't want to keep saying that. This is just a fun movie that likes to really, you know, break it down to the biggest elements and just kind of play around with that concept. But I really did like it. I thought it was really funny, and I think as a topic for themes like codependency and boundaries and getting healthy, it's a great topic. I'll just say this since we'll bring it back to like a helpful recovery note. So using the movie and the themes in the movie. So I've mentioned boundaries. Are there other things that you have learned specifically that are like your tools now to not fall into a place where you get lost in people and not realizing your role? Like, how do you keep yourself?
I had to identify all the patterns. I had to take a hard look at all of them. Cause like once I saw them in black and white, it's like, now I know when I'm slipping into them again, or I can see them operating, and it's like, I know where they lead, and I know it's painful, and I know I don't want to do it anymore. And I actually see myself when I like making different choices. It's like, okay, I feel this tendency in myself. Cause like one of my tendencies is to like split off and like try to do my own agenda somewhere instead of trying to do something together with someone. And so when I feel myself starting to like rear down that errant path, it's like, I say it, like, I feel myself wanting to do all these other things. And I know that's not helpful. And I know that, you know, I don't want to do it.
That's a really good point about it. Because I've talked about that before, which is that like when you do different things, it actually isn't comfortable.
Mm-mm. You know?
And that's probably why in the beginning he just caves, because he's like, oh, yeah, it's too scary. Like, yeah. It's much harder to change. It's much harder to do something differently than it is to just fall back into the same old pattern.
But it's possible.
It is. And those things do feel cozy. I mean, you say words like isolation and like that sounds like, oh, that's not a good, but it does feel good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like isolating. It's a cozy little blanket for me. I'm mm-hmm. happy to do it. It doesn't mm-hmm. bother me at all. Dealing with people and facing people and being honest and finding out what I need and want and all that stuff, that is hard.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing easy about that for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier to just disassociate or like take all the people out of the equation and then just try to like cut myself out from the world a little bit so I don't have to deal with it. Because I definitely have been a person that would say, you know, I'm not good. I just need to not be in relationships. I'm not good in relationships. I don't know how to do that. I should just be alone. I mean, there's been a lot of voices. There have. I've said, I can still say those things to myself
mm-hmm.
in a weak moment or like a, what do you call it? In certain moments when I'm feeling down or something, like I can go to those places when I feel ill-equipped. Yeah.
And so do you listen to them or do you recognize them?
I really work on not listening to them and actually like tools of the program for me, which are just getting to a meeting or calling somebody that I know that's also in recovery and, getting myself out of that funky thinking is what mm-hmm. I need to do. And mm-hmm. at least at this point, 'cause I've been in a recovery program for like, my God, like 9 years now. That's a crazy thought. I think it's been 9 years. Do you even know for you? Like, it's been a while and you don't have to say. I know this is very tricky to talk about. Yeah, it's okay. So I'll just share my own thing. But yeah, so I think that like, yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely better at that stuff than I was in the beginning.
Oh yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time.
It does take a lot of time. And it does take people for me. Mm-hmm. And it takes healthy, not healthy people, but people in the same realm of like working on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something about that. And I would say my closest friendships are people that are working on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Instead of just sitting around being like, oh man, you know, what am I going to do? Or what, I mean, not taking any part in it and just distracting.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It takes work.
Mm-hmm. And it's very uncomfortable.
It's
the hardest work I've ever done.
Oh my God, it's exhausting.
And it's excruciating. And after that sales job, let me tell you that it's completely worth it.
So if you're wondering what you need to do, it's excruciating. I'm just kidding.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I know it's Halloween. We're all eating sugar and candy and all this stuff, but let me tell you, it is.
Yeah, but it's also awesome, right? Yeah. I mean, let me tell you, like, it is like taking all the weapons and just like crushing. I guess what's the monster? The monster is not a person. It's not Dracula. It's like that thing that has kept you from yourself, you know, and saying, I'm not going to allow this to get in my way anymore.
For me, it was the persona I created to compensate from all of the insecurities and low self-esteem.
So you could almost, I've heard a therapist do this where you kind of like name the different parts of your personality. There's like this Tiffany and then there's that Tiffany and so that you separate it out and that way you can like still be kind to those parts of yourself. Yeah, I don't know. I was actually listening to a podcast and well, they were talking about that. So. Yeah, but I guess there's something helpful about that so you don't, so you can still like embrace the different parts of yourself, but tell them to kind of take a back seat or.
Oh, you know who it really in a really fun way was Julia Cameron in The Artist's Way. She talks about the critic and she talks about.
Oh, that's
like,
what
the,
it is. Yeah. That's exactly it. So you just say like, okay.
Yeah, she helps you identify the different voices.
I need to do more of that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, this is a great movie.
Now that we've told you like the line by line. No, just
that's what we do. That's what we do. But it's super fun. It's hilarious. Nicolas Cage is funny. I love this actor. He's so great. A lot of funny one-liners. I won't give it all away, but you're gonna see it anyway, so it doesn't matter. And have a great Halloween. Go out there, put your mask on. We didn't even talk about masking. I always bring up like Mike Myers for Halloween around the concepts of recovery, just because I do think that's a whole other topic. But like, yeah. What are the masks we wear with people, and like, you know, why do you put on a mask, you know, to hide or to be somebody else? You know, it's funny. I just had this thought this morning because I'll just share this last piece, and it's just me being personal as always, but I've always loved Halloween, even when I was little. I know kids love Halloween, but like, I think I liked it so much. And I think that the reason I truly have always loved Halloween is, and this was the reason I liked it, was because it was the one day of the year that I could be somebody else completely. And it was encouraged. You know what I mean? It's like, you can just literally not be you today. Be anybody else. And that is interesting to me now, because I'm like, what is that appeal? Like, that I could just be not myself today. Like, I could be any little fantasy character that I want to be. And I know there's a lot of fun and play in it, but I think it was a little deeper for me sometimes, because I do struggle with myself. And so getting to be somebody else is like really easy. It's like I get to take myself off the shelf for a day and be like, no, I'm going to be a vampire. I'm going to be, you know, and maybe that's why everybody likes Halloween. It's just like they get to be somebody else for the day, but, or they just like costumes and it's fun, but there's something about it that I really like. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Welcome to my new share podcast, where I just share about my problems, which I always have anyway through this. But Julie, do you have any last things you want to add? Giving you
I wish the viewer or the listeners could see your sweatshirt.
Oh yeah,
so I've got classic.
I have so many Halloween things on right now. I have socks that are from Friday the 13th, which is not one of my favorite ones, but they're Halloweeny. And then I've got a sweatshirt that has like all of the classic and not classic, like what, killers?
Yeah,
I mean,
they're the villains from like the classic horror.
I'm wearing
movies.
All the villains on my shirt. Yeah, I've got literally Freddy, Michael Myers. We've got Scream, the Scream guy, Jason, Hellraiser, It, Chucky, The Exorcist, and the girl from The Ring. Whatever. Oh, that man. Is.
That was the movie that ended. I could not see.
That movie is so weird.
That was the last horror movie I ever
watched.
That was
it for you? I hope this upset you. It wasn't really a horror movie, but.
Okay. What would you call it?
What we just watched.
Oh, no. I didn't count that because you told me it was a comedy horror. And
yeah, well, it didn't really legitimately funny. Scare you, right? Like, no. You weren't sitting there like, oh, no, what's coming around the corner? No.
No.
Yeah. Not like that. It's just a joke. But, well, thanks everyone for joining us. I have a new setup. I am now doing this out of the comfort of my home. So good God, I could be doing this every day. So we'll see what happens. There might be way more content. And as always, send information. I'm going to leave the title the same for the moment, The Film Effect with Tiff. We are going to be bringing in some new themes and maybe talk about recovery topics in here in the theme of in connection with movies and how movies always have hidden themes in them.
They always do.
Or obvious themes in them that we can use to talk about real life. So continuing on with that. And everyone, get your candy, get your costume. Have a great day. Enjoy. See you next time. Thanks, Julie.
Bye. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Me out, so I'm frightened. Ooh, Dracula's running.